Hello, and welcome to the May 2017 edition of The Bizarre Briefing. I'm Bryce Castillo, joined as always with Brant Hughes.
Hey.
And Max Gilliland.
That's me.
Jeff Schuchler. Jeff's busy today, so he couldn't join us this week, but or this month, but we'll be thinking of him. He's in our hearts and our prayers.
Yeah.
Get better soon.
Rest in peace. Guys, welcome back. It's another busy, very busy month. We had a very, very busy month.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Yeah.
Yes. I
guess so.
Yeah.
A lot happened.
Yeah.
Some shoots and stuff. A lot of
like behind the scenes stuff.
A lot of behind the scenes stuff going on.
Sure, sure.
Though maybe I didn't put it on this list, but maybe we'll talk about it a little bit because we've talked about it a little bit on Night Attack. So,
sure.
That's radio tease.
Mm. Nice.
Or just hit the time code that says the thing. let's go down the list here. Just had a cool little video come out the other day. Was it over the weekend? Of the uncut raw footage of the credit card skimmer episode from The Modern Rogue.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Brant?
Sure. Yeah, people seem to enjoy that. A couple people had asked for just like, hey, can you just give us just the raw feed. I just want to see the whole thing.
Injected into my veins.
Are they going to show it? Show it to me.
Split screen.
And so I was like, well, that seems like a pretty easy thing to do. So I put out this kind of quad cam feed of all of our footage and our audio. And just the whole process of shooting it. I wanted it to be a fairly standard episode for us, and this was kind of one of our standard talking episodes.
Yeah.
And so it was in the warehouse, which is like a good standard starting point, and there weren't guests, which made it easy. I did let them know beforehand that, hey, I'm going to put this out.
We're going to do this thing.
Yeah, unedited. Yeah. As well, so you know, there was probably like a little bit of, I feel like early on there was a little bit of them being pretty cognizant of that, but then they kind of just went into their regular routine.
Yeah.
And yeah, people enjoy it. It's probably neat to see like after having watched the episode to go through it and go, oh, this is like something that they said in the episode, but not exactly what they said, and then like you slowly fall into the exact speech patterns that you remember hearing and stuff like that, and so you can kind of mentally piece together the jigsaw of how the edit came together.
Yeah. I only just now realized that you also put in like the other camera of you taking the B-roll footage at the end. I only just now realized this.
Yeah, so I...
Because it would be difficult to go in and censor all the delicate information after the fact.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to go in and mosaic a full camera feed or whatever, and I didn't want to keyframe it.
I'll tell you what, it sucks.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not. even with... Though, Premiere does have pretty good like mask tracking.
I mean, good enough.
Which, like,
it'll do the job.
After Effects has better motion tracking, but it doesn't. It's not as easy to do that stuff with masks for effects, I feel like.
In After Effects, I feel like it's definitely easier for me because a lot of it needs like kind of precision work with putting points on your mask.
Mm-hmm.
And with After Effects, you can just go over your image and scroll wheel to zoom in and out to get like really precise stuff.
Sure.
Whereas Premiere, you have to like go into the corner and click the percentage and then go like, oh, I want 25% feed now. I want 75% PV now. It's a bit laborious in that capacity.
Yeah. I mean, Premiere... The handling on it in Premiere is definitely clunkier and less sophisticated than in After Effects. Mm. But in terms of like making a mask for an effect and having it track it on its own without setting tracking points, it's still surprisingly good for not having to say, this is the point I want you to track and follow it. They're both good things.
Gotcha.
Good things are good. Well, that's awesome, man. Do you think there'll be more of these? I mean, probably down the road, right?
So
at some point.
Here was my thought, and we'll probably get a little bit more into this on one of our other topics for today.
Okay.
They're not too hard to make. Mm-hmm. and people seem to enjoy it. But we haven't historically been making these, as this is the first one we put up, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah. So I thought we've been talking about Patreon stuff, here and there.
Yeah.
And I think it would be like a really nice incentive for like a low tier Patreon thing to be like, hey, we might not do it for every single episode, but
every once in a while
we'll do it pretty regularly, because it's easy enough to put out.
Oh, cool.
And I think that would be like a cool little reward for people. And then also like I could pretty easily just go back and do that for a lot of old episodes as well.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
And that'd be cool. The only tricky thing is with sensitive information, so stuff like the credit card thing.
And there are a couple of instances, I believe, in Monorock that would have to work around that maybe a little bit.
A little here and there. And then also my other big sticking point is guests, because we put a lot of time and effort into making guests look as good as possible.
Yeah, and working within certain things that they have to work around.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, if you put up a full uncut thing with a guest, then like, especially if you didn't talk to them beforehand and say, hey, this is the thing we might do, then like,
right.
I don't know, that gets kind of weird for me morally. Yeah. But something to think about. Really, the whole thing about the time commitment to those uncut source footage things is just watching through it all, because I just want to like double check that nobody said anything like really shitty about a guest or something like that.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah,
would not be good.
That we've ever done that.
Of course not.
Of course not. No.
But you know, just like a real safety check, because a lot of that stuff, you know, going into most episodes, the guys know that at any given point in time,
they could be an outtake.
This stuff could be outtakes. This could be live streamed in an edit session or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So usually they're pretty good about like not saying like really garbage stuff. But you know, every now and then I'm sure something slips through. So I just want to be careful about that. But also like if it's a Patreon thing, then it's like, hey guys, be cool.
We're cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good idea for
that's
a perk.
Cool, yeah, I like that.
We'll talk more about the Patreon and stuff, but that's a good perk that I hadn't even considered.
Yeah, and it's also really nice because it's like no additional time commitment for the reward. So like Brian and Jason don't have to go out of their way and do anything different. I really don't have to go out of my way and do anything different. I just have to have one more render.
Yeah.
And people like it.
Cool.
Nice. Very
cool. Did you like it more or less than the behind the scenes shoot day video that you did with the I think it was the Millwall Brick episode?
Right.
Like they're they're almost diametrically opposite types of things in terms of like edit commitment and even what it's trying to show. But could you compare the two?
Yeah. So definitely there's a lot more work that goes into something like a shoot day. Like there's a recorded shoot day for a Scam School shoot that I just have never put together, like 3 months ago or something. And there's definitely like, I don't really know what the structure is of a shoot day episode, but something like the source footage is just like, whatever we got is here you go. And so it's, you're right, like they are kind of similar in that they're showing the process, but the shoot day stuff is more of a, hey, you're here with us, let me talk you through our process, let me explain what's going on. Whereas the source footage is just you're in the editor's seat.
What it is.
Cool.
And so I think I like the source footage stuff more, because obviously it's easier for me, but also I think there's something a little bit more honest about it, you know? Whereas the edit day stuff is fine. But a lot of it's like, here's what I'm deciding to show you.
Yeah.
Instead of just here's everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for putting that together. And, we'll keep an eye out for more of those. What is this next topic here?
Okay.
Is this a tick? Does somebody do? Is it me?
It's everybody. Uh-oh. It's literally everybody. Yeah. Like, who speaks English.
Okay.
Oh,
So I put out an extended outtakes not long ago. It was called OK. And it was called OK because the last third of the video is every instance of a person saying OK in that episode.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
Aces.
So it was a thing that I initially started doing because every now and then I like to do something to like kind of spiteful to Brian to like teach him a lesson.
Sure.
Right? So the social inserts on Scam School where it shows like Brian's Twitter information was like a jab at Brian for how many people he follows. Mm-hmm. Because I really wanted like that information to be super visible and constantly updated. Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so little stuff like that I think is fun to do sometimes. But and I really started noticing the okay thing here. So it started out with Brian, but then I was like, well, of course, everybody does this all the time. So these are I'm sure there's like a real name for it, but I would call them confirmation phrases. And you see it constantly in Scam School and really any kind of teaching environment. People say OK because you kind of need to reaffirm the person who's teaching to say, yes, I understand what you're saying. Please continue. Mm-hmm. And so it's this weird like social cue that people do constantly. But for video, it doesn't serve any purpose because we don't need to know that. Yeah, you're following along. We just need to know what the teacher is saying.
Especially when it's something like Scam School, which gets condensed or like tightened up a lot, and that you know just percentage wise, that becomes more and more time. Compared to if you were listening to it, you know, in person.
Right. And so there's a lot of stuff like that in Scam School. There's a lot of I've noticed as I doctor sentences, there's a lot of stuff, particularly at the beginning of sentences, that can just get thrown away because they're more form rather than substance.
Things like so, things like stammering, Brian gets into a stammer sometimes when he starts sentences. So tell me about the thing, right?
Or here's the thing, or one that people would not expect, because you can pretty much cut out any time a sentence starts with because.
Sure.
Because then it's just then you're just stating why something was because, and people connect that.
Yeah.
And so there are a ton of like little phrases like that, and okay is a big one, and so. I couldn't even possibly count the number of okays or sures that get cut out of any given episode, but you can pretty much guarantee that if I had to guess, I would say 80% of the times that you see a camera switch, I'm cutting out words. At least, and sometimes it's more. Sometimes I'm cutting out big pauses. Sometimes I'm cutting out bits that didn't work, retakes. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a word or two words or part of a word. And sometimes it's just a camera switch, but, that happens constantly and it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy and it shouldn't because of course it's just how people talk.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing that's so unnecessary. And
It's a product of like Brian not seeing that part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thing with Weird Things, the science fiction podcast that the guys do, where because it's an audio only podcast, I can get a little more heavy on editing that showdown. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of like cutting out extended silences, weird parts, and when that show gets condensed down, or just after the fact, no one listens to it. There's no sense of like feedback on what does and doesn't work, because by the time they see it again after the recording, it's been cleaned up, but also they usually don't listen to it anyway, because why would they? They just did it.
Right.
And I think Scam School kind of gets in that sense too, the fact of like skipping the part of like retrospective or an introspection. Retro introspection.
Right. And it's also like a tough thing, because I can't say, hey Brian, just don't say this anymore, because a lot of times those kind of confirmation phrases help the guests or whoever else is on the episode.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like a necessary evil that has to be stripped out.
Mm-hmm. And also there's not an easy way to bring that up in a way that is like effective and becomes like steadfast, right? You can say, like, I noticed recently, I feel, and maybe this is me, but like Brian doesn't do as many like second takes or like full restarts of phrases when we shoot Scam School as much. Mm-hmm. I think he's been, this is less words, I don't know, this is not the right way I would describe it, but like just getting maybe a little more sloppier with the way he presents stuff, maybe just a little bit, right? Just in terms of not checking himself as much, right? And that's a factor of like getting into it and focusing more on like making sure it comes across, because that is a good indicator of teaching it well. And I think on when we went to that last handlebar shoot with Diamond Jim, I think at one point early on, I think the closest I got to like giving that feedback was like, hey, like you make sure like, or like feel like you can do second takes if you need to, or like start. And he's done it before, right? Like every time, hey, if you've ever been on Scam School, you've heard the words, don't worry, trust the edit, and they're going to make you look great and all that stuff.
Sure.
Right.
You know, if you mess up saying something, start over. And so it's kind of like, I just need to like poke you to take your own advice a little bit. But it's not easy to like always bring that up, especially in the moment, because you can't be like, here's the source footage of you saying the thing, and you know, it's tough.
Yeah. It's a weird balance.
And also the whole time you were talking, I was just thinking about the times that Max and I were giving you confirmation phrases. I'm like, sure.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Oh no, I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it's a podcast. This is different than a YouTube show, I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
It's conversation.
Right?
Not polished. Just the rawest of feeds.
Sure. We do edit this show a little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit.
I figured, but
okay. When I mess up mostly.
When you mess up the month or something.
No.
No, never that.
Okay.
I always
get
that.
Good, good.
But yeah, that's
it's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing, especially because I feel like we all kind of wear a lot of hats, but Brian is the only one, I mean, other than like Jason or any of the other podcast people, is like the talent and is on camera and is going to be the one on camera, you know? And so, I don't know, for me, it's also like, you know, does he need, maybe he needs to do that or to get into it, to get into his right rhythm. And so maybe I'm better off staying in my lane a little bit.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Sure.
It is what it is.
And quick addendum to that, I think it was Daniel Dwyer who I was listening to talk the other day. He recently did he does a lot of video game documentaries and stuff, youtube.com/noclip. And he recently did one in Japan for Final Fantasy.
Mm. Right on.
And it was like the first time that he had to work with interpreters as intermediaries between his interview subject.
Mm.
And he noticed like the confirmation phrases and stuff are really important for just bolstering and supporting your interview subject. And it's kind of super hard to do that with somebody who's speaking another language. Like he can kind of nod
That's
along and stuff,
yeah.
But...
Huh.
It's going to be empty because he needs it to go through the translator first.
Yeah, sure. And so if he doesn't really know exactly what they're saying, then he kind of has to wait for the interpreter, and then like
a delayed reaction.
Yeah, there's like this weird barrier that kind of prevents some of that stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's just another weird side effect of confirmation phrases.
Yeah, I've seen that in I've watched some like Japanese TV, and when they have English like musicians and stuff on, you'll notice that, you know, they also have to go through translators, and you'll see where the edits have been to kind of shorten stuff up a little bit, especially because a lot of that stuff doesn't always get edited a lot necessarily in terms of like talk shows or whatever. But it definitely is an additional like challenge between languages.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
We also got outtakes. We got an old outtakes. I remember seeing this from the Dead Drops episode.
Very nice.
That's really cool. This, if you don't remember the Dead Drop episode, this was with the spike, the metal aluminum
Dead Drop.
Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of a little spy capsule that you implant in the ground.
This was a fun shoot. Like, it was kind of, well, this was our 36th episode. Well, it seemed like an earlier episode. And it was out in the field, the whole thing, which,
yeah, it was mostly out in that parking lot.
Yeah, well, that's right.
In the
royal field.
Sure. Yeah, it was one of the very few episodes that we haven't done that we just did kind of out in the wild.
Yeah,
which was strange. But yeah, I felt like, you know what, I just want to get one of these old ones done, because I could basically do an extended outtakes for any episode we've ever put out. Mm-hmm. For the most part, there are like one or two where there's just not a lot of material to work with, but yeah, like a lot of these just kind of come down to time. And I've been running into a problem where I have a ton of old footage on my hard drives, because I'm like, well, if I just have the footage, then I'll do extended outtakes, because then I can just pull up the files and do them.
Yeah. So by doing the old episodes, you can get that footage off of your hard drive.
Yeah. So it's, although I've got this weird habit of doing like extended outtakes for half of the episodes that we did at every shoot. So I've got footage dating back like 7 months, 8 months on my hard drive. Ooh. And it's, sometimes I just need to do some of these. So like, I think, this week I'm going to put out one for the shuriken, the throwing star one, which is a little bit old now. It's like 2 months old or something, a month and a half.
Yeah.
And and that's a situation where that is the last one of that day that does not have an outtakes.
Yeah.
So I can do it and get rid of that footage. Realistically, yeah. I could get rid of a ton of footage and then just drive back here when I want to do like a specific episode of outtakes. But that adds a lot of time, kind of a hassle.
Sure, sure.
This was a fun thing. I would like to do more. Unfortunately, I have this really weird habit of, this episode specifically, I had streamed out my edit for, and then the Throwing Star episode, I streamed out and archived that stream on the Scam Stuff channel. So there's a lot of people just kind of watching this, and they've already seen this material. But I would like to do more old stuff. Maybe one of these days when I have a little bit more time to focus on Modern Rogue, I will be able to do more like old outtakes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
Wait, I just realized that there's this clip from the It Follows domain ad.
Yeah.
Which was a scam school. Wait, did they... Okay, so I'm watching this on mute, and I can't remember. Did they reference this?
They did.
Okay.
Because we shot...
Like, that was...
We shot that Modern Rogue episode the week after that, or something like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad that the outtakes are like continuing to come out, and that it's a mix of newer and older episodes.
Yeah, I think it's a fun way to revisit some of the old stuff.
Yeah,
definitely, it's good stuff in there too.
Yeah.
So I believe it was last week, we had Daniel Garcia in town, and we were gonna do a whole Scam School shoot with him, and then we were just a little too busy to do that. But y'all, by which I mean Max, right, filmed. Was it Max and Brandt that filmed a product video? How much? I mean, that thing is going to come out. So, like, can we...
this week, right?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. So, like, can you tell us a little bit about it, Max? Or like,
I mean, yeah, it was a really great time. Danny's always a pleasure to work with. He's always a lot of fun. You know, he's just whenever we're prepping for a shoot, he's always like doing magic, just like in the corner playing with cards and like making things disappear. I'm just over here trying to focus, but yeah, I think it went well. I don't know.
Yeah, and longtime fans will remember Danny Garcia from like some of the first couple of episodes of BB Live Show. Which is where I knew him from.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he's also like a pretty well known magic consultant. He's worked with some of the biggest names in magic,
ooh,
if you will.
Yes.
But yeah, he's a real cool guy. Yeah. So yeah, it was the shoot was kind of a throwback to like extra credit stuff. So it's kind of in that vein.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it was kind of weird to get back in that rhythm because a lot has changed since we did the last extra credit.
Yeah, where did you guys film this? Was it in the studio?
It was
again?
In the
yeah.
studio. Here.
Okay, yeah. Very cool.
So kind of at this table.
Yeah, because the last time it was an extra credit, it was before all the studio stuff got moved around, and so it would have had to been right there, but in. Like right, like between where Max is sitting and that plastic sheet was basically like the effective amount of space
more
in the
less.
Old studio. Ugh.
Yeah, and also that was when John was in those, and yeah, also
he was doing the stuff.
Like our camera setup was vastly different. Back when the last time we did extra credit, we were still using my Canon 5D Mark II for these. We were using Brian's T2i, I want to say, which had overheating problems. And my 5D had problems with only recording what 5-minute clips or something, and didn't span recordings. And then I think we had one GH2.
Oh wow!
So
that's crazy.
It was like
fun.
It was a weird mix of stuff, and it was all. And also, I don't remember if I had started working with Premiere the last time we did extra credit.
Oh God. I think you might not have been, because we've talked about before you doing all your editing on After Effects.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of... I know the first... Easily the first half of extra credit was all done through After Effects somehow. And I think I might have done the last one or two extra credits in Vegas...
Okay.
Because there was a period of like 3 weeks where Brian was trying to get me to use Sony Vegas because that's what he had. And I kind of cobbled together a couple things. And then when we took over production on Scam School, I was just like, let's go with the Adobe Suite.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it sounded like that was a pretty straightforward, no issues shoot. The thing that I heard was like, it was about an hour, and it's probably not a lot of mess ups or anything. So,
yeah,
probably edit pretty quick.
And I think that product's going to be like a bit of a relaxed kind of conversational piece for the most part.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So yeah, so that's launching probably this Friday, assuming this episode comes out before then. And so there'll be a promotional video by then, and then the full video will probably be not long after that. Because people need to be, they have to receive the product also. Otherwise, the instructional video doesn't help out too much.
Yeah. Right.
Well, very cool.
Open by you asks, how can a DSLR camera overheat? That is a problem that a good handful of cameras have. The A7R has that problem. And the T2i had that problem. And a good handful of cameras have that problem. I think it's a battery issue more than anything.
Right.
I think the battery heats up and then it doesn't have, or maybe it's like a CPU kind of thing. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But it's not that hard to overheat a camera if you really want to.
Especially back then when it was DSLRs starting to get into video.
Sure.
And not really having any optimization for it.
Yeah. If you just work it too hard, you know, it gets heat up. Just like a computer, really. If you don't have proper ventilation, then it's really easy to heat that stuff up beyond the point of usability.
Yeah. Well, you know what you can also heat up? Vehicles.
Indeed.
Because we just did a Modern Rogue shoot a couple days ago.
Oh.
We took a car.
Okay.
We blew it up.
Uh-huh.
And fire is hot. And so we did another episode. We shot another episode at the Stunt Ranch this past weekend, and it was substantially nicer weather. Like, it was super hot. It was still hot, but it was not, like, direct sunlight all day. And so we didn't burn to a crisp. I didn't have any sort of sunburn issues the next day.
That's good.
But we blew up a car. That was, I don't know, how did you feel about that?
It was good. It was exhausting. Took a long time.
It was a 6-hour shoot, basically. Like, between prep and...
Sounds about right.
And doing some extra stuff at the end, it was about 5 or 6 hours. But it sounded like it could have been a lot longer if we didn't have a bunch of volunteers come out, which was great to see a lot of people come out. But even then, you know, we filmed a little bit of it and then had, I mean, it was probably 2 hours of just prepping the car to explode. Because you have to take out a bunch of materials and stuff so it doesn't, like, make the ozone all screwed up. And it doesn't smell bad.
And also just so you can control the burn.
Right. Yeah, and that was what they were saying, is that thankful that, like, Steve from the Stunt Ranch was like, yeah, that was, like, one of the cleanest extinguishings of a fire we've ever had to do. So check that out. That'll probably be in a month or so when that episode comes out. I don't know. It's another explosion episode. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. Maybe Modern Rogue... It's not like an explosion channel.
Yeah, the propane tank explosion episode underperformed quite a bit compared to what we had expected it to do. But
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of just the way that it goes. I thought the thermite episode was going to be huge, and it super was not. So sometimes really fun episode ideas just don't translate to well performing videos sometimes.
I wonder if it's, like, a function of usability of the content for the people who watch.
Like, maybe.
I would like to think it is a function of, like, well, who's going to shoot a propane tank? Or who's going to, like, rig a propane tank to explode? And like, how helpful is that information?
Sure.
But then again, that is a judgment of the content in the video and not necessarily, like, getting people into the video.
Yeah.
Because I think an explosion is probably pretty enticing for people, I would think, but I don't know. It's not exactly Mythbusters.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of vectors at play, and I think there are a lot of variables that intermix with each other, and a lot of people try to find the one thing, and that's just kind of not how it works.
No.
Brian would be like, we didn't release exactly at this time on this day, so that's why it didn't go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it probably had deal with the title and the thumbnail, probably played a big factor in it.
Yeah.
And then
keywords, tags, and metadata, transcription.
Which I basically don't use any tags for any of the Modern Rogue episodes.
Wait, really?
I put some in, but like not many. I put like some of the stuff, some of the like basic stuff that you'd expect in there, but
okay,
right.
But yeah, like also the propane tank explosion one, like there wasn't as much of Brian and Jason being just the idiots that Brian and Jason can be sometimes,
right?
Because it was a little bit more clinical because of like safety concerns and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably also inhibits some of the shareability of it, because I think sometimes the episodes, you know, do the best when Brian and Jason do something really dumb, because they have that freedom to, sort of like the Parabolic Mike episode, you know, like they were hitting that stuff with a hammer and setting it on fire just because, but with something like explosions, It's a little bit harder to get kind of goofy and dangerous with it.
Yeah.
Because it's already so dangerous.
That's true.
So I don't know. We'll see. There's another Stunt Ranch episode coming out 2 weeks from now, next week?
I think it's 2 weeks. Yeah.
No, I think it's next week. I'll check and you fill.
Sure. It was good, and like I guess Brian put out the word on Twitter about having volunteers, because basically, like, spoiler alert, you have to almost totally rip out all of the insides of a car for a proper explosion. mm-hmm. because right. vinyl stuff, fabric stuff, like anything that'll catch fire shouldn't be in the car.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. it's...
You basically got to rip it down to a shell.
Yeah. The inside of it, was basically the metal chassis. Mm-hmm. And plus all the actual explosion device itself. But it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild. And it, mm-hmm. It gives me a new appreciation for when they do like Hollywood explosions and stuff, because like obviously Hollywood explosions are all fake. They're all like, extra chemicals and stuff to make it, because normal explosions don't have a big fire ball and the actual what we think of explosions, right? Like mm-hmm. they just don't blow up like that. It's more force than anything. But so for them to do explosions that look passable, because like when a car has got all that shit stripped out, it looks like it. It's kind of like tough on a believability standpoint. Mm-hmm. So either powering through it or figuring out ways to do it with some other material is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did check, and it's next week. Next week we have a Stunt Ranch episode. Brian and Jason handle a gun.
Ooh. Get your comments ready.
Which was very scary, being on the other side of the 180 degree line from their gunfire.
Yeah. Since it's coming out next week and we won't talk about it for a week or for a month and we'll probably forget by then, can we talk a little bit about setting up that shoot?
Sure.
It was a
bit of an ordeal.
It was a bit of an ordeal. So one of the cameras, assuming all that stuff is good, it should be good. It is our wide camera. Normally we have a camera that is kind of a little more central, a little more 4K, so that we can do digital zooming and stuff, or digital mm-hmm. cropping. Mm-hmm. And that idea is sort of perpendicular to proper gun safety.
Yeah. You generally don't want to be directly in front of gunfire.
Right. Exactly. Usually not. Yes. And you don't want to be behind them and have them like constantly turning back and forth and back and forth, because mm-hmm. knowing them, mm-hmm. they won't do that. They will just talk to each other whichever way they go.
Yeah.
So we were in kind of this little like
a ravine or something.
It was a little like walled off. It was outside, but it had like a natural like hill around it, because mm-hmm. it's the stunt. I'm sure it's all like man-made probably. I don't know. Anyway. It had kind of its own natural wall. And so the solution was to put the master shot above the hilly area that they were shooting at. So it would be like very elevated, but very out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem was that those hills or those natural barriers were not made to be
climbed upon.
Yeah. particularly walkable. In terms of like having a lot of fucking brambles and being a very, very steep slope.
Yeah.
And being very tall up. Like it was probably 10 or 15 feet up.
More than that.
Maybe 20 or so. Mm-hmm. It was a good climb, a very steep climb.
Yeah.
On a very hot day. And so there was this fun trade-off of like, okay, you set up the camera, I'm going to wait here. Finish setting up everything else on the shoot so I can turn it on, because we only have like an hour and a half or so on this card. Mm-hmm. And so we start it, and then I'm going to start there, and I'm going to start a timer on my phone so I know when we got to get back to it, so that we have enough so we don't run out of the card up there.
Yeah, because nobody can be up there, so
right.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be down range of gunfire. So
I have to hold another camera. Like
right.
That's the other thing, is that day we were criminally like understaffed.
Yeah.
For as many cameras as we were doing.
So you kind of just had to let it roll and hope that everybody stayed in frame and hoped that the cards didn't run out and hope that batteries didn't run out. I still haven't really looked at the footage, so I mean, hopefully it's fine. But
I'm sure it's fine. Once we got started, that seemed like a very straightforward episode. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's mostly posture and it's mostly hand position.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be easy, bro. I don't know.
We'll see.
We got another question from Open Bayou in the chat. Jason said on Rage Select that they've scrapped ideas because they didn't want to be arrested. What episode ideas were scrapped?
I can't think of any in particular. Any of those ideas we wouldn't have filmed, so it wouldn't have really been brought up to Bryce and I.
Yeah, because Jason usually does most of the prep on that stuff. Mm-hmm. He'll float some stuff out, but generally once he has a good idea of it. But I know we did the SQL injection stuff, and maybe something down that rabbit hole of like hacking or how to use the low orbit ion blaster, DDoS thing. Mm. Something that might actually be a criminal cyber crime.
Sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of the show is us kind of figuring out safe ways to express ideas. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like half of our episodes, if like framed differently, could be seen as a criminal venture.
Sure.
And so it's a lot of like the credit card skimmer episode, which went up last week. Mm-hmm. If that whole video was, hey, here's how to illegally steal everybody's credit card information, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Then like probably would have raised some eyebrows.
Maybe, yeah.
But it was like, hey, here's this information, here's how criminals do it generally, but there are also some legitimate uses for this technology.
And part of that is tone also.
Absolutely. Right?
Just the way of presenting the exact same information.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dancing around that. I don't feel like I know of any ideas that specifically fit
question. A bomb. Like a type of bomb.
Yeah.
That, you know, would be a problem, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
No, there are totally legitimate uses for fertilizer bombs. No. Probably not on that one.
Also, BS4Free asks, how are the new quarterly meetings working out? We just had one, last week?
On Friday. Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah. So we've been doing those every
quarter.
Every middle of the quarter.
Okay.
Every something middle like month that. Of the quarter. So sure. February and whatever May. Month this is.
This May. Is
May. And we try to do kind of in the middle of that month. But yeah, it's been going well for the most part, I would say. It's I feel like it's definitely good to kind of structurally put in place spaces for us to kind of get a broad scope of what's happening.
Yeah.
Because
one of the big topics of discussion was something I had not heard of at all. And would be a big thing to sign on to.
Right.
And so getting a chance for all of us to find out about it at the same time and suss out what our reactions are and what we what our concerns are is helpful. Because otherwise it would just be like, I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud and who knows how much teeth this thing has, you know?
Yeah.
That happens a lot with me because I listen to the podcast or I work on the podcast and stuff. So I'm around Brian kind of a lot on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So.
Generally speaking, Brian likes to float ideas sometimes and then never formally introduce people to them outside of that floating idea.
Right. But also floating ideas out and then them not becoming a thing and then wondering if that was that's a thing to do
thing,
you know
sure
a lot of mixed messages
and I mean outside of that this podcast is the only time that we really all get together at any given scheduled determined time and before we did this podcast, there was literally none of that. So it is nice. And also I've tried to get Brian on this podcast before and I don't think that's really a thing that he's super interested in doing.
To join us on it or to listen?
To join us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've only had him on once because John was out 1 week or 1 month.
Yeah. I'm sure if we really needed to, we could pressure him into appearing once in a while.
Yes.
But with even with this, right, we still don't get any of Brian's input. And so it's like, oh, we all get together, and then Brian's hanging out downstairs or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, well, see ya, I guess. We're done talking about this business.
Yeah. Oh, man. So one thing I want to talk about, because it's kind of, I think it happened since the past month, and it's kind of related to the thing that we teased that we'll talk about later, is that we kind of put the codes for the giveaways on pause. You might remember, it might have been last episode we were talking about, where we removed the old giveaways, the Friday giveaways that were on the Scam School channel as videos, into the Modern Rogue channel as comments. And we have codes there, and people could decipher the codes and go to Reddit and talk about it. And those have kind of been on hold for the past couple of weeks, about a month now, right? Mostly because I've been super busy about it, and we're still, I feel like, trying to get the right feel of, like, what that engagement is best used for in that real estate at the top of, you know, new Modern Rogue videos, in terms of, like, is that a open giveaway? Is that a codes thing? Do we try to push people onto Reddit or to Twitter or to an email list? I think you will probably see us experiment with that a little bit more. I can't even say if we'll have one this week in terms of another code. People have been asking for it, but I think it's also tough because that's a specific amount of people, and I don't know that the return, it's a fun thing to do, but I don't think it justifies itself in a time where time is much more limited, like the past month. So, codes. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only kind of paid attention to the codes kind of on the periphery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't really speak much about it.
No, that's fine.
But I think it's a good update because people who are into those are really into those.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to change my flair on the Reddit, on the Modern Rogue subreddit to the codes will come back or something. Because it was always that. So that's your code date. All right, I've got a Brant Rant Bryce edition.
Okay. whenever you're done, I'll help add on to it.
Okay, great. So I'm working on a thing, the thing that we teased and we'll talk about later. I'd love it if we just never got to it, just because we're like 45 minutes into the show. And I was having a problem with some footage where, I don't know if you've ever had this, Brant, where like, and it would only be the master footage on the GH4, the 4K footage, but like, you would scrub along with in Premiere on a multicam video track, and you could go frame by frame, and at some point like it would skip forward. It would either skip forward a frame, and like do a couple frames, and then skip back to be back on track, or like skip back and repeat frames before it got back on track. It would be like a weird glitchy sort of thing.
Okay.
Where it like a loop, like basically the video version of like a CD on loop, you know, or skipping rather, a CD skipping. Anyway, so I thought, well, that's not good. Sure. Why is that happening? I've never had that happen, and it was on footage that I did not edit previously. It wasn't footage that I had worked with before, so I didn't know if there is some weird trick to it. So I thought, okay, well. You know, I think I updated my Adobe to sometime last year, kind of a little ways into the 2017 release, because they started calling it 2017 last year,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And so I thought, okay, well, I know they just had a new pack come out, but I will go and update it up to that new pack, like right before that new pack, so I don't have to get all these new features and my files don't need to be converted to the new year. And that's not a thing you can do on Adobe. So when I made the update, I was updating to the most up-to-date version, which had, you know, the things that we talked about last month, the on-canvas text stuff, the essential graphics, essential titles, and that upset me, partially because I didn't want to do that, and I did have to go through and update all of my templates and my new versions to a new version. But that also upset me because I didn't solve my fucking problem.
You're probably better off because before the latest update, it was kind of broken. So if you,
mine was working perfectly fine.
But I'm saying, had you updated but not to the full next version, the next update probably would have been kind of broken because they had a run of a couple of like pretty broken updates.
Okay. I wouldn't have done it.
Not good, but you're probably better off.
I guess so. But it was just super frustrating because, okay, it's a new content pack in a new year. So why didn't they give it a new number? Right?
Isn't it 2017.1 or something like that?
But it didn't say that. But it didn't say that. And that's fucking stupid, and I hate it, and I just because then that broke my dynamic link, because your dynamic link has to be your After Effects and Premiere have to be on the same version, so I'd update After Effects too, which took me 4 hours to find that out. I did not know that information.
I don't think I've had a problem with an After Effects update. Like once you get it updated, I don't think I've had an After Effects update that has been like super lame, like the Premiere updates.
Sure,
it's usually more solid, yeah.
But I don't update a lot, and so usually when I update, it's a single program when I need it, and then I don't do the other ones because it's like I don't need that. Then I spend 4 hours getting reminded that Dynamic Link has to be on the same version. That fucking.
So the problem you were experiencing previously with the kind of skipping stuff, I've experienced that a little bit, but only with something like where you have if you have an effect or a dynamic link and then the source changes and Premiere has a hard time figuring out whether it should read from the cached version that it has or the new updated version.
And so sometimes
it kind of bounces around a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I've experienced that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was trying to go in and like delete, you know, conform files and media cache files and none of that really helped. It seemed like the only thing I could do, and I think it was a function of RGB curves. Like there are some video effects that are wonkier than they should be in terms of like making sure stuff is not glitched out. But I think what solved it is taking all that multicam footage and flattening it. So it's not going through a multicam sequence. And that seemed to get it all out. But that was just, it was super frustrating because it shouldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And also when I flattened, okay, there's another thing. Okay, Premiere, there's another thing. Right. So these multicam tracked footage, I was doing Gaussian blurs on the multi-track footage, the multi-track clip, and tracking stuff and blurring some stuff out. But when I flattened it, the keyframes did not transfer over to the footage, or they transferred out of sync because the time on the footage is not the same as the time on the multicam sequence because those started at different points in the multicam sequence. So I'd have to go and delete the file and copy it over from the multicam track. Oh, really frustrating.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I was going to say something really pertinent to this conversation.
Multitrack, flattening, your own Adobe Rant stuff.
Yeah. Well, okay. One, Red Giant Universe plugins kind of are wonky, especially in like if you apply them on stuff that has Lumetri with a LUT plugged into it. So that was some of the problems I had been having the last handful of weeks or months or whatever. And so like last week I had to go through and say like, okay, here I'm using a Red Giant plugin. Let me render that out. And then take that rendered file and plug it in on top of the actual plugin. So that way it doesn't have to do it in the actual render. It's just re-rendering this video file.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit laborious, but it's a thing. So the title tool.
Sure.
I went off on the title tool last time. So people know
and
about...
You can still use the old title designer.
You can use the legacy one if you're okay using a legacy product. Yeah.
I mean, you just got to hit Control-T to make a title. Because they did get rid of it from the new drop-down button. But you can still do the Control-T thing. But yeah, sorry, the new title.
But yeah, I also like to like immerse myself in the new stuff because I know the old stuff's going to go away at some point.
Sure.
So I want to. I just want to be ready. People know a lot of my issues with the titled tool, but here's a fun thing I didn't mention last time.
Okay.
Let's say you want to change the font.
Sure.
That's a thing that sometimes you have to do, right? Because when you use the current title tool, it immediately starts you with your middlemost font. So for me,
middlemost?
Yeah. So for me, it's like Myriad Pro or something. If you have all of your fonts alphabetically listed, it starts you in the middle, right?
Huh. Oh, okay.
That's weird.
Could it just be that it's Myriad? I've never seen that. But also Myriad Pro is an Adobe font.
Okay.
So I don't know if it might just default to that. Anyway, continue on. It goes to your center most. That's also I'm only trying to poke holes because that seems stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you probably don't want everything to be in Myriad Pro or whatever.
Sure.
So sometimes you have to change your font. So
how do you do that?
So you open it up and then you click on a little font thing.
Okay.
And it has this drop down, and you go, oh well, I don't want anything that starts with an M or an N. So I want to go up or down. So let me use my scroll wheel and go up or down.
Okay.
No, scroll wheel doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. There's an up arrow on the top and a bottom arrow on the bottom. And you have to click and hold and wait for it to scroll up to go to the higher fonts.
Okay. Right?
So you think, that's like super dumb.
That's very
dumb. So I'm just going to type it in, right?
Yeah.
So it's like tuna. I use tuna a lot. The font, not the food substance.
Sure.
Well,
So it's like, oh, let me type in tuna. Do. Well, it kind of half works. So you hit T and it goes, okay, here's the first T thing. You hit U, it goes, okay, here's the first U thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't actually like type in the font that you want. You had to go, okay, what's the letter after the first letter of the font that I want? Sure.
So I had that with Premiere. I had something similar with that, like in an old version of Photoshop, where you would start to type, you'd type in the first letter, you would type in the second letter, but it would have deleted the first letter, but then you could keep typing from the second letter.
Oh, weird.
So if you type tuna, you would just get una,
right.
And then you wouldn't find it. Now it's kind of all right. It's still a mess. All of the type kit stuff, I feel like, has made just the quality of life with that very awful.
Yeah. And also, so here's another thing, right? Sometimes you go, I want a different font for this, but I don't know exactly which font I want. Mm. But I have the feeling I've probably got the right font somewhere in my library. So
with the up and down keys thing,
with the old title thing, there's no preview of your font, so you could hit in the font thing, and then you can just up or down arrow, and you can just cycle through all of your fonts, and it'll live change your thing.
Yeah.
Can do that with a new one. No. What you have to do to go to the next font is you have to go, okay, let me open up the font drop down. Let me find the font that it's currently at. Let me click on the font right below it, and then it'll update. And you just have to do that over and over again, because they don't show any preview. They don't let you tab down or up to the next font.
That's awful.
It's so miserable. It's like they designed it without even using it at all. Yeah. It's insane to me. It's insane.
They still have title designer in there, though, so.
They do, but for how long?
So, okay, hold on. Wait, what happens to... So you have to make titles on the canvas. Does that still make like a layer element on the timeline? That
it does.
You can move? Okay.
Yeah.
That seems good.
But that layer doesn't go into your project file items, right?
So it lives nowhere?
It just lives precisely on the timeline.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's easy to lose.
Because, Jesus. So
I'm,
does that mean...
I'm
cause
pretty
it used
sure
to be,
that's how that works.
Because it used to be with the old title designer, if you alt-dragged to make a copy, it would create it as a separate title in the project bin. So if you double clicked on one and changed it, it wouldn't copy over. You'd have to drag over from the project bin the same thing to make sure they stayed the same. So I wonder how that works now. God, this is
It's such a mess.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what's going on over there.
God damn. Okay. Well,
props for trying to fix a thing that's super broken and messed should've up and bad.
Right to start with, yeah.
But how did you make it worse?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You tried.
It's astounding.
All right. Next topic. Twitch stuff, a little bit of Twitch stuff. We are at 180 some subs on Twitch, which is great. That's great. For having the partner stuff for only a few weeks now, that's a pretty good amount. We have like 11 or 12 emote slots, custom emote slots that we can fill. And I'm just now finishing up some stuff where I can have time to make. I made a new one today, but it's going to take a few days to get approved because they don't have an automatic approval system yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have more emotes coming very soon. And I talked about this at the end of the Saturday Rewind stream, where we go back and watch old episodes of Night Attack and SFW show it might have been the previous one, about doing an official shirt. We haven't had an official like Diamond Club shirt in years, in a super, super long time. There are tons of fan ones out there. Strike It Rich, I think, made ones. I wonder if Sebgon still had some. But there are some out there, but I want to make one officially just so that we have one that is ours. And the options, like when it comes to making shirts, which we kind of went through last year, was it last year or this year? It was last year because John was still here. With making shirts, you can either go and get them printed and then sell them, or you can do them on demand or dropship or something, and do take less of a margin. And it really sucks ordering shirts. Especially because our big thing with the podcast stuff in Diamond Club is going to the conventions, around the country, going to Atlanta and Utah for Nerdtacular and stuff. You know, we went to Florida last year for CreateCon, and just hauling around shirts is a pain in the butt. But also, like, trying to have all of the sizes that people want. Having color variation. One of those Diamond Club shirts had different color versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real pain in the ass. And so for as good as the margins are, because the margins are really great, that really sucks. And that requires money that the guys... I don't want to bug the guys about putting down also. So we're gonna make official ones, and I'll do it, and it'll probably just be on a Teespring, and that'll be the official shirt. And that, what's up? It
sounds like a great plan.
I mean, they're not going to do it,
right?
You know, they're not going to do it, and I don't know that they want to like pay someone to do one necessarily.
Hmm.
So we'll just do it, and then that'll be it. And then we can do stickers also, because like Teespring does like stickers and some merchandise stuff. And I think now Teespring will let you do indefinite campaigns, so it'll basically act as a shop after a certain point. So people can get them when they want, ship directly to their home. They don't have to go to the conventions to get stuff. They can do colors, they can do sizes and stuff. And so keep an eye out for that, because that'll be something coming soon, hopefully in time for con season.
Do you have any idea of like what kind of theme you're going to go with the design?
I don't. Part of me thinks it'll be similar to... I made a 3D Diamond Club for the emotes earlier. It was blue, and it's extruded, and it's got some lights and stuff. So something probably something in line with that, though I did blow up the... it's like a Photoshop 3D layer, and so I blew it up, and the angle looks really good when it's small, when it's like the emote size, but really big, it's kind of an awkward angle for what it is, just a very simple 3D thing. So probably something like that, probably. Cool. And so it might be RGB printed, so it could be like many colors instead of single colors.
Gotcha.
We could do different colors, right? The one is blue, but we could make other colors. The world is our oyster.
Whoa. All
right.
So that's that. Let's talk a bit about Patreon insofar as that there's not so much to talk about for a modern rogue Patreon. Brian made a Reddit thread. Mm-hmm. When was this? Like a couple of weeks ago now?
Yeah, that sounds right.
11 days ago. And it's basically saying like, hey, what if we did a Patreon? Like this, so there's like seven paragraphs here, but this all boils down to what if we had a Patreon?
Yeah.
And I actually like am kind of surprised about some of the comments. Like a lot of people digging the idea of a Patreon, but also like some people like not wanting extra videos a week or not wanting like promotional elements inside the videos. Which is interesting. It's just an unexpected response. Yeah. I didn't necessarily expect. I mean, there are only so many people in this thread, but I didn't expect that percentage of people to be like, "Nah, I don't want more things per week."
It's funny because that's about what I expected.
Yeah.
Because there have definitely been a few channels that I've subscribed to in the past that I'm like, "Oh yeah, these are good videos," but then they ratchet up the quantity and I just go, I can't watch all of this. Like, that's not what I want. Like if it were, you know, once every now and then like I can make an event out of it and I can really like get into it. But if they just put out like daily content, then that's just super not what I would be interested in from those specific channels.
That's interesting. The Modern Rogue episodes are pretty meaty. They're pretty long, right? And dense, right? Like, it's not crazy to call them sort of dense. I hadn't considered that would be too much. And now that I think about that, that would be a lot. Because that could be, depending on what it is, if we're talking about multiple full-length episodes, that could be, you know, 30 to 40 minutes of someone's time per week. If that's just two episodes, perfect world of full time stuff, but
yeah, and also, yeah. So there's a lot of good discussion in that thread. And if you want to lend your voice, you go to modernrogue.reddit.com, and it's stickied up at the top. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are a lot of theoreticals and hypotheticals and thinking about stuff. Mm-hmm. At some point in there, Brian said, maybe three a week would be good. And I just went, whoa, let's calm down a little bit. I'm getting by with one for now.
Right.
But yeah, so like the big idea with the Patreon would be that it would give us enough supplemental income that we could like get Jeff to dedicate more time to Scam School. If he could dedicate more time to Scam School, then I wouldn't have to worry about Scam School, and I can make more Modern Rogue stuff, which I would very much like to do. Mm. So the idea of two a week, if I have no Scam School, is totally feasible.
Yeah.
Like I can absolutely do that. Three a week, I could hear out with the context of the third one being something like an extended outtakes or a different kind of thing that
some more supplemental sort of content.
Something that's not like a big bulky Modern Rogue episode.
The other thing about doing, you know, multiple episodes a week is that ramps up how much we have to shoot.
Yeah.
And at some point we're going to hit, I feel like if we extrude out like, you know, doing more Modern Rogue stuff and potentially other different projects and things that have to be shot, product stuff and other mysterious things. Like, it may come to a point where we need to split people up into shoots, right? Mm. Like, in a world, if we have, you know, not just Jeff, but possibly another editor, that's probably too many people for a Scam School shoot, or more people than we would need for a Scam School shoot.
Right.
Who, you know, could go and do Modern Rogue shoots, and then we have less of an issue of like shoots lining up back to back or any sort of fatigue element in that regard. So that's another thing that the Patreon could help, is like fund another person to help with not just editing, but also like shooting all of that stuff. We would be doubling as much Modern Rogue stuff to shoot every time, constantly, regularly, forever. Hmm. You know, that's also something to consider. Because one thing that I saw in this is that people might also not want weaker or more watery episodes. If that means there are more videos a week.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, I think on some level, like, there's a lot of time that goes into an episode. Mm-hmm. I spend on average 15 to 20 hours a week on just one Modern Rogue episode, and that's assuming there's no ad.
Yeah.
And that's assuming also that it's a standard episode, which is 30 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes of footage, and not one of our ridiculous episodes. Like, we've had a couple episodes that have at least 2 hours of footage, which is just ridiculous. And so I think a lot of people are like, well, if you're making one per week work, in order to do more than one per week, you would be giving less time per episode, which I think is their big concern, because it would demonstrably make each episode worse have less attention on them, which is not the idea. The idea would be that it would free up more time for me to allocate that time to more Modern Rogue stuff.
Yeah. It's a tough call, because this discussion is light on details, because we are all light on details. We still don't know what this is, and we're waiting on other stuff to happen to like get a good idea of what is best for this. Mm-hmm. But it could be big, right? Like, Patreon has helped out a lot with the podcasts in terms of being like a really steady source of income for those things, you know, like to, you know, Weird Things, which is only like $400 or $500 a week, has been enough to like make the guys do Weird Things every week. It used to be that it would just kind of happen when it happened, because no one was making any money off of it.
Right.
Yeah. So that extra cash and as big as Modern Rogue is growing, could also help out in every corner.
Yeah, and I think we might have talked about this months and months ago, but I was big on the Patreon idea for Modern Rogue back when we were pushing it to its own channel originally. Uh-huh. And so I'm still big on the idea. I think at this point, like, the sooner we can get it situated, the better, because every week that goes by that we don't have the Patreon up is money that we're throwing away. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of things are kind of dependent upon it, like the sort of Jeff situation, about giving him more responsibilities and stuff kind of hinges upon us making Modern Rogue a little bit more profitable. There are a lot of ideas floating around. We don't know the exact shape it's going to take, but I do like the idea of it. I also like the idea of it being something that we don't necessarily push super hard, because I don't want it to be like, here's 5 minutes of us talking about Patreon at the end of Modern Rogue. Mm-hmm. Something like the way that once every 3 weeks or so we do a quick merch plug at the beginning, like, hey, you like the show? Buy our shirts. See ya.
Yeah.
Like something like that for Patreon, I think would be totally fine. But yeah, there's a lot of thinking and a lot of deciding.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where that's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of Patreon will go hand in hand with doing two episodes a week. Like, I think that is just like going to be like an inherent part of it, I feel. Or like, I don't know that it should, but I feel like that's what will happen. You know what I mean? And when we find out more about the next topic that we talk about, we will know if we either need to spend a lot of time hustling on that or whether we can start doing twice as many Bond and Rogue shoots as we do. And because I think kind of one of our weaknesses is ramping up labor, like getting like we haven't had too many new people necessarily.
Sure.
And we're not in any sort of training setup where someone can just spend X amount of time and get, you know, onboarded and figuring out. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't like, that right, Max?
Yes, painfully so.
It's just. if we had to get a new editor, it would take a certain amount of time for them to figure out what Scam School or Modern Rogue or whatever is and how it gets shot, and it's kind of and where that person even comes from, because we are almost deathly adverse to just going on Craigslist and soliciting demo reels.
Right.
So, diving in both feet first on both topics, both modern, doing more Modern Rogue shoots and the next topic that we're going to talk about stuff could be tough.
Mm-hmm.
It could be tough to do all of that at the same time. So, okay. So we didn't tease in it the whole time. So,
Real quick, like no promises, but I would like to think if I had more time for Modern Rogue, I could also more reliably do stuff like closed captions and just like quality of life improvements, which would be real nice. And also before we get into that real quick, Max, what's going on in the warehouse? AdDragon wants to know.
AdDragon, also Mbeam. Good stuff. I don't know. A lot of good things. Cool stuff happening. New products. Doing those card targets. Way too many of them. There's paint everywhere.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's a pleasant disaster, so.
Okay. But the card targets sold well, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, people love them. It's really cool. Yeah, part of the gold foil cards people really seem to love.
Yeah.
The problem is nailing out a source for those, because, you know, we tend to get them from maybe sometimes less than reputable distributors, so we can't always guarantee what kind of product it's going to be or if they're going to be the right proper quality. So I know that we've definitely gotten some emails about why we haven't sold those alone as is, and so that would be the primary reason. So
yeah.
But yeah, cool things. A lot of new products coming up in the near future. So that's exciting.
And actually, that card target launch was the first time we did like the new version of like product videos.
Yeah.
In terms of like it's being like a mixture of like a little 30-second teaser and like an unboxing demonstration video. Like what a package, like, because I think when we originally started talking about it, it would be like a package for a behind the scam type video. Except we just spent the 3 weeks before chopping off all of the things from those videos and moving them into other places. And so it is now the thing that I wanted Behind the Scam to be, which is like all content and no fucking like framing device or vlog element. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That all I was not feeling that.
Sure.
Because on some level, like the code stuff was a way to make those videos more enticing, but that's also very like external and artificial sort of way, you know, that's, you can't season something that's burnt, you know, you can't unburn something with salt.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but what if you could?
If you could. Science, get on it, scientists. But, when like now that the codes are over somewhere else and the giveaway element is like the only thing left in it, like because there's not vloggy stuff as much, Brian's not traveling as much, like just making it be that video just it is like a breath of fresh air in terms of like A, getting out of like doing something every week, which was just too much and made all of those videos worse because of it, because we had to have something.
And so I
really like what that is, and it was well received and got a lot of views, mostly because it doesn't start with Brian shouting. I would like to credit that with some nice music from Monster Cat and not shouting directly at the audience. Oh, by the way, we have a Monster Cat license on Scam School now.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is.
Monster Cat is like a record label that does like electronic music and stuff.
Huh.
You can pay like $10 a month and they'll whitelist your YouTube channel for monetization.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to credit the musicians. It just like sees that you used it and it does like a Spotify rev share thing for them out of your $10.
Sure.
And they do this cool thing where, like, after 20 months of subscribing with their monthly service, any videos in that 20-month window are permanently whitelisted. So you could, like...
That's nice.
You could either pay for X amount of time on something that's, like, super timely and then just let it go, and then they can monetize it themselves through YouTube, or you could just pay, like, upfront the 20 months and... I don't know. It's pretty cool, and I don't... Monster Cat is, like, a pretty big label because they also are, like, really friendly for streamers and stuff. So I was looking for music, and God help me if I was going to try to find shit on SoundCloud again. Yeah. Which I think we talked about in a previous episode. So, okay, so let's talk about the mysterious project. So I will start off by setting up basically as much as we talked about on Night Attack a few weeks ago.
I don't watch Night Attack, so I'm the audience surrogate here.
Okay. Gotcha. Then let me know what questions you have, and we'll do an improv bit. I'm Bryce.
Okay, what is Night Attack?
Night Attack is Brian's comedy podcast. That's every week on Tuesdays, nightattack.tv.
Okay.
And so we talked about... That guy surprised me with a segment on the show that was like, hey, we noticed you were super stressed, so we'll just talk to you and, like, appreciate you for 20 or 30 minutes. I was like, okay, that's fine. That's a fun little thing. The past, like, month or so, I have been hustling to get a video done that is in the shape of a television episode.
Okay.
Rather, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are things... like a dozen or so people have already seen or have seen a version of, because I think Brian sent those out to people to look at. But it would be a television sized product that you could see in the next couple of months on an extended cable channel. And that would be great if in a world where that gets picked up, we could get a lot of money to make more of those. Mm-hmm. But it becomes an issue of, like, what is the meat of that?
Whether the logistics and...
Right. Like, do we make all new content for that? Do we rely heavily on older content from that we source from somewhere? I'm trying to be
this is a really fun algebra problem with a lot of variables,
discreetly vague as possible.
And so, like, you know, the things that we made, the TV shaped things that I'm working on now are very cheap because they're already basically done, but then making something all new would be expensive because there would be a lot of it to shoot, and we would need to have money to, like, close down shooting locations for multiple days to get all that stuff as clean as something of this caliber would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been, like, busy working on these things, and it's been especially tough because, like, my experience in, like, broadcast TV is limited insofar as, you know, the station sort of thing that I was working at was not a TV channel. It was a local broadcast station that just kind of did whatever and didn't have ads and anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I am very much just, like, thrown into this thing, actively not knowing what I'm doing, and you know, trying to do the best that I can. And most of the heavy lifting is already done. A lot of which I alluded back to previously, included masking things out and tracking masks and, you know, using Premiere's god awful masking tools. Like, the new version of Premiere. Okay, we're back. I'm back on my bullshit. The new version of Premiere, somehow made dealing with mask points even worse. Like, if you click on a mask while you've got the pen tool, or if you click on, like, the last point that you made a little too fast after you clicked to make it, it will make a point, like, above, like, super far away, for some reason.
Huh.
It won't, like, reselect it so that you can move it around. It will, like, just make this weird fly point, and it's very bad.
I basically never use masking in Premiere. I feel like After Effects. I mean, we talked about this earlier.
Yeah,
but
like, well, and I just needed to like make a blur over video footage. There was only a couple of times where I actually like made a graphic to like be tracked on another thing, which did work out really well in After Effects. But it's tough, and you'll see it soon. And I think it'll be good. I mean, it will be good, and it's stuff that pretty much everyone who's worked here has touched on some level. But it's a lot of like TV stuff that I don't know anything about, and you know, making TV stuff out of not TV stuff, and finding paperwork, some of which has been lost to the ages, and.
It's a whole thing.
It's an endeavor,
and every one of them takes like an hour and a half to render out because there are so many blurs. Which is just also very fun when you're dealing with like footage skipping that you only see after it renders, or you know, multicam footage not being black instead of showing the camera that is selected.
Yeah.
So that's a thing, and that is the other major. If we have two tall ships at sea, and one of them needs to go ahead of the other one, and we are waiting on the winds. Ha ha!
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Show title. It probably won't be. I'll probably forget. I won't listen to this bit, and we'll just have forgotten that I said that. But yeah, I mean, and I don't know. Having heard that basically for the first time, stand in for the audience. Like, right. What did I miss something? Like, is that a good explanation of as much as I could talk about?
I think so. I think, you know, people who know all of the properties that we have within our repertoire can make some guesses.
Yeah. You can play guess that Pokemon on a lot of what I said.
Yeah. I think that covers about what information we have right now.
Yeah. And there's
just a lot of stuff up in the air.
Yeah. We don't have any dates. We are like in the final stages of our side working on it before we send it off to someone who's not the person buying this, so that we can send it back to us doing another thing. So by the way, also, like, another weird thing is that I'm not doing the audio for it. We're sending the audio to be done somewhere else that knows TV stuff, which could be good because it could help clean up a lot of the bullshit. There's a lot of bullshit in the audio.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, we'll have to get it back, and then we'll have to send it to the other people, and then they might have notes. I don't know. I don't know how much control that they want or we'll get. And then we have to figure out who gets credited. I kind of made up a list, and we have to figure out titles and roles for people on some level.
That's fun.
Yeah, I also did not get any sort of guidance on that, so I went on Wikipedia. So
just 20 executive producers.
We should do what NIS America does, and just like lists everybody with no roles, and everybody on the team all contributed. Maybe we do that. But then also we have old footage from old people who worked on it and had their own roles. Anthony G. Reed says, do you have a date of when it can be announced? Nope. I had at one point heard that it would be within the next 4 weeks of right now when I'm saying this. But I don't even know that we're going to hit that timetable.
Sounds kind of brave, yeah.
Also, wasn't one of the early timetables like January or February or something? And then it was like, that's not reasonable.
Yeah,
and then
it got pushed
way back.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think so. But this was like last year sometime.
Oh, okay. That could
And then it was maybe. Just like, maybe give
oh,
us
Oh, that's
some
right.
Time.
No, that's right. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And then what took so long?
was because the first week I was working here, Brian was like, "All right, here's this. Now you edit a TV show."
Oh, that's
like,
right. Because Brian kept pushing off. Like,
No.
Brian, like,
you hired me for what now?
kept pushing off, like, cutting together a concept, a really rough concept cut of it, and like, I guess didn't trust himself to cut it together. That's right.
Because so
that's
gave how it started. Me, and it was like, ooh, look, Adobe.
Well, because that's how it started. Because you had made a cut. We had some other guys trying to make a cut.
Yeah.
And then one day I was over here trying to, I was going to shoot. What was it we were going to shoot? It was like t-shirts or something with cards. Oh, maybe it was the original photo shoot for Outlaws we were going to do. And it didn't arrive. The Outlaws.
Oh.
Artifact or didn't arrive. Yeah. And so he was like, well, so the thing hasn't come. I had stopped for gas and I got the phone. So the thing hasn't come in yet, but I've got this other thing and I'm working on it. And if you're nearby, can you just come by and look at it? If you could just have a little bit of time, just come look at it. Right. And just see what I'm. And then that turns into like, well, since you're here, Premiere's already open. Can you just like do these things? And so this thing that I'm working on and I'm effectively in charge of, I was never asked if I wanted to do it. So
happens a lot around here. It's
fine. Yeah. But so that'll be that coming soon. We have a little bit of time for potpourri before we got to get going and prep for Night Attack. What's been on everybody's minds lately? How are we all doing? We good?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I want to remind everybody, go see a doctor if you're able to.
Yeah.
I went to a doctor for like the first time in my adult life, and they're like, hey, dog, your thyroid's all messed up, so like, let's fix your thyroid.
Yo.
And then so I was like, ugh, okay. I had to like learn how to swallow pills, which I've been like notoriously horrible about because I've never had to. Because yeah. I'd like never take medicine for anything ever.
Weird.
So it's like, well, okay, I have to figure this out, I guess.
Yeah.
I had to learn how like a pharmacy works. I was like, yeah. Oh, so like that's where people go to get like
to get their pills.
Medication
to get all the drugs.
Yeah. And not just like to pick up snacks.
Right.
And stuff.
Yeah, no, there's something else in the back of that CVS.
Yeah.
It's not another cashier back there.
And yeah, so there was like a whole thing. And then also, I guess like some pharmacies have like a 10-day wait. So I was like, well, I've been living with my thyroid my whole life. So what's the rush?
It'll be fine.
Yeah, so I showed up like 2 weeks later and they're like, what? They're like, we don't have any of your stuff ready for you.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, geez. And, yeah, so get a checkup, kids.
Yeah. So just, you know, if you haven't been to a doctor lately, just go say hi to a doctor.
Go say hi. Tell him hello. Let him know you care.
Or go chat. Yeah.
Give him a copay. Copay it up.
Oh,
get some.
Absolutely.
Get some labs.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Labs are fun. I was like, first time I had labs drawn, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna react to labs because it's not often that you see like a bunch of blood coming out of your body.
Okay.
Working here.
And I mean, so I was like, oh, well, I'm just not going to look. And then the second time I was like, oh, I'm super going to look. And then I was
it's cool though, right?
I was like that's so weird.
It's cool.
It's
yeah.
so weird seeing just like this vial fill up with this like insides is now outsides.
Sure, yeah.
So, anyway, doctors are cool.
Doctors, okay. Well, I hope your thyroid gets regular.
Yeah, I don't feel any different. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so,
there is
I mean, we'll see in like a month or two when I go get more labs or whatever.
You come back, we come back next episode and you're fucking like huge. Just like fucking
jacked.
Ripped.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Also, we got new card readers, which is really great.
Nice.
I heard about that.
So previously when I had been archiving footage, it's like it's all on SD cards. So like plug it into my laptop and then hardware my laptop into the network here and then transfer stuff onto both my external hard drive and our backup hard drives and stuff. And it was a whole thing. And so now we got this Lexar professional solution thing.
How many does it hold? Four?
So it's a hub that has four card readers in it.
That's nice.
And you can use every card reader separately or you can plug it all in and then all four come in at the same time. So I can simultaneously offload four cards at once instead of one, which is great.
That helps.
And it's been nice so far.
Cool.
Right on.
Is there enough band? It's USB 3, I'm guessing, right?
It's Lightning Bolt 2.
So it's only Mac?
No, it's also got USB 3.
Okay.
But okay. I use Lightning Bolt 2 because I think it has a data throughput of like 2 gigs per second or
something like that.
Like quite a bit. So yeah, it all goes through pretty well.
Cool. Good stuff. We did the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds stream a few weeks ago. Oh. You were doing a stream of it from your perspective, and I did one from mine. Mm-hmm. And then you synced them up, and you put them together on ScamStuff, the ScamStuff channel.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/ScamStuff. That was cool. I didn't know you had done that, but it was quite an experience trying to play PUBG with Brian.
Yeah. The thing I'm very in tune to is people's communication skills. And Brian has many talents, but communication is not one of them.
I think
it really shines through in something like that where there is a lot of team communication going on.
Yeah.
And it's
especially tough because like he was still pretty new to the game, and I think he was kind of going back and forth between like wanting to be an entertaining person for the mm-hmm. people who are watching, but also try to pick up like the try to pick up the tone of how you communicate in a squad on that game, and like pick up what does and doesn't need to be said normally, you know. So it was a lot of like trying to like systematically say, all right, from now on, we'll do this and this and this because I'm having this problem for whatever reason. And that, I think, caused some horns to clash a little bit.
Yeah. It was a whole thing.
It does.
Made me really not want to play that game with Brian, at least not on stream.
Yeah.
But
and then Jason was trying his best, but I don't think he's bad at it, but he kept dying very early,
mm-hmm.
pretty right. much every game.
Yeah.
Which is a very unfortunate thing to happen.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind giving it another go with everybody.
Sure.
Seeing where that went. But sometimes it's hard just to schedule stuff out.
Yeah.
True. And there was mixed reception on the ScamStuff channel, but like whatever, because
whatever.
I've posted like an hour long video of just slow motion footage of us burning thermite on the ScamStuff channel. It's a depository for behind the scenes and extra stuff. So whatever.
Yeah, right.
Stuff like this.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to do it. Plugs real quick. Anybody got plugs? Anyone want to plug anything? Brant?
Okay. Twitter.com/Gadwag. That's where you can keep up with a lot of my stuff, except I don't actually post any work stuff there for whatever reason, cause I'm just weird like that. Instagram.com/Gadwag. I post photographs there cause I take photographs sometimes. I posted a couple last night. Twitch.tv/Gadwag. That's where I stream stuff. Like sometimes behind the scenes editing stuff, but not that often lately. But also sometimes video game stuff. Like, do you like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds? Sometimes I play it there.
Ooh.
Do you like Rocket League?
Yeah.
Sometimes I play that there. Ooh. I used to play Hitman, but now that's dead.
Oops.
So I guess not anymore.
How are your masteries on Hitman, though? You can work on the masteries and the achievements and stuff.
I guess I could. I've got pretty much maxed out masteries for most stuff. I don't have like the professional level masteries for everything I've done
gotta get that gold star.
Yeah, right?
But also like that game requires constant connection to their servers, and I have no idea how long their servers are going to be up now that that company is like sold off and isn't going to exist anymore.
Yeah,
that sucked.
So I have no idea what that's going to look like.
Weird. Okay, cool. Gadwag on all the things. Max, anything you want to pump?
DJ Old Fashion, usual thing. Come follow me and all my usual antics. Scamped us, Max, whatever. You got problems with your store things, let me know. Just try not to use too many caps locks, and we'll figure it out.
And if you've got anything for the store, scamstuffstore@gmail.com is the email address. Send that straight there. I'm Brycaz on Twitter and Twitch, BRYCAS. You also see me streaming on the Night Attack channel all the time. This show is called The Bizarre Briefing. We have a website. It is bizarrebriefing.com. He says, just double checking, it is bizarrebriefing.com. There you can get the old episodes. You can get links, show notes, time codes, all sorts of good stuff. And no, I don't want Slack. I want the and then I closed it. Okay, cool. Nice. Bizarrebriefing.com. Go there. Find us on iTunes. Find us somewhere else. And until next month, we'll see you next month. Bye.
And then we'll complain more about Adobe.
It's gonna be. Like that. It's gonna happen. Sorry about it. Yeah. Just time codes. We do time codes now. So, bye, guys.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.